I want to preach with a thought out of Psalm chapter 38 on the remedy for your sin. On the remedy for your sin. Let's begin to read in Psalm chapter 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrow steadfast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bound down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischief things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God, for I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and that again, and that needing help, and that from heaven. Lord, we don't even know how to preach this morning, Lord, but by the help and that of the Holy Spirit, I know that you'll help us today. God, I stand before you as a man that, Lord, that truly is feeble and don't know what to do. But God, I know that if you'll come by for just a little while, I know that me and these folk that are under the sound of my voice will find help this morning. God, I implore heaven just to come down and that for a little while. God, as we preach this morning, my Holy Spirit conviction and that fall upon folk that are lost and that's never been saved. God, I pray that you'd convince them of their sin this morning, that they might come to you. Help the one that might be cold and indifferent, and that with you this morning, that they might come and renew that covenant with you and draw close to you, God, and get right with you this morning. Lord, don't let these folks see me, but see you and see your word this morning. For I know that's what will help as we preach today. Help us now for just a little while. Say that soon it's near as 10. We'll tell you that we love you and thank you for what you've done for us. Help us now on that from heaven. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning as David in this passage is dealing with his sin. And a lot of folk believe that this was a time and that when David had sinned against God and that with the time with Bathsheba and in the murder and that of Uriah. I'm not 100% sure, but I could see that. Amen. But it was a time when David was in great distress and that because God was against him. Now, I'm not saying these are the only three times that David sinned in the Bible. One was with Bathsheba in adultery. One is where he had Joab had Uriah. And those other, you know that with Uriah, there was other men killed. besides Uriah. And then we find a time when David and that numbered Israel against the will of God. But we find that David is in a bad shape. Let me say quickly that by way of introduction, if you read this chapter, you see a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins at Calvary. Can I say that we see that he is under and that the weight and that for sin. Listen, sin carries an awful weight with it, don't it? And it carries an awful heaviness. And let me say at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took my sin and your sin so that he could bear it yonder. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, the Bible said they've laid on him the iniquity of us all. Right here we find not only was he and that under the bondage or under the burden of sin, but we find that he was deserted and that by his friends and his family. He said, my lovers and my friends and my kinsmen, they're afar off. Hey, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 26 that he was forsaken by all. Listen, you look and you find that his enemies was against him. Psalm chapter 22 tells us that they pierced his hands and his feet, and his enemies, those dogs, were about him. But as we read this passage, we find out that God the Father was there to help. Amen. Listen, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know that from Calvary that he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which meaneth, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friend, I believe when the lights got turned out, God had looked away and that from this mortal earth and would not stir upon the very thought and the carrying of sin. But when he said enough was enough, and Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished. Hey, I'm glad, friend, that it was done. It was done. Amen. My salvation, praise God, and your salvation was paid for. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. Hey, but not only do we see a great type and that of Jesus paying for our sin, we see a great type of the weight and the burden that a sinner that is lost carries. Listen, we find again sin's got a burden. And boy, I'm telling you, when God comes by and knocks on your heart and convinces you of your sin and shows you that you're a sinner, boy, there's a burden and that falls on your heart. And boy, ain't it so heavy. And don't you get so tired of caring. I mean, David, he said, I just go around, I bow down all the time. I'm troubled. I go mourning. He said, mine iniquities are over my. He said, there ain't nothing that I can do for him. Listen, the weight of sin, I was about to get him. But we get over there to verse 17. And you know what he said? He said, I'm ready to halt. You know what that means? He's just ready to stop. He was ready. Listen, God had convinced him that he was a sinner. And he may be convincing you that you're lost this morning. You need to get to a place where you're ready to stop in your sin and say, Lord, save me, a sinner. Is it really that simple, preacher? It's really that simple. It's really that simple. I'm glad as a 14-year-old boy that that's what I done. And he come to where I was. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew chapter 11, I believe in his. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The remedy of being lost is coming to Jesus, and he'll save you today. But I want to look at it in the thought that David wrote it. That he wrote this song. I don't know exactly when he wrote it. at what point he come to. And I don't know if it was before the time that Nathan and that the seer come to David, the preacher had come to David and told him that little story about a man that had one little ewe lamb, a poor man that raised it like a daughter. And he said there was a rich man that met with a traveling man. And he come and he took that one little ewe lamb and he killed it for the traveling man and fed it to him as he was coming through. And to make a long story short, David said, this man shall be killed. But he said, before he dies, he shall restore fourfold. And Nathan looked at him, the king that sat upon the throne of Israel. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man.
Yeah. Amen.
You're talking about a man that had some guts.
Amen.
God help every preacher today have guts like Nathan did. Amen. To be able to stand before the king of Israel and say, David, you're in sin. Amen.
Amen.
God help us all be able to do that. Now let me say this, that once you get saved, you're saved.
Yeah.
And no amount of sin can undo
Amen.
Your salvation.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to ruin your relationship and that with God the Father. It's going to ruin it. And if you don't think that He's going to come by and convict you of sin, listen to me now, you're sorely mistaken this morning. I want to look at three things, God being our helper, on the remedy of sin. Number one, in this passage, I see the conviction of sin, or the conviction for sin. How can I say that David didn't have to wonder who was bothering him? David didn't have to wonder about what was going on in his life. As a matter of fact, when he opened this passage of Scripture, he said, "Oh Lord," he knew who it was. He said, "Rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." He knew that God was hot on his trail. Hey, can I tell you today, there's a lot of people and that think that they're going to get away with sin. I was thinking about this as I was looking over it this morning. I thought about, you know how most sin starts out in pride? Don't it? Don't most sins start out in pride? We wouldn't do it if we didn't think we'd get away with it. And I mean, we get prideful and think that, hey, listen, I can do what I want to do. I'll do as I please. And God won't have nothing to do with it. Oh, you're mistaken this morning if you're saved. Listen, He will rein you in. He will come knocking on your heart. The Bible said in the book of Numbers, He said, be sure that you sin will find you out. Amen. Hey, listen, it always finds us out. But here David is. I really thought he was going to get away with him. I mean, listen, really, if this was a sin that David committed with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed, listen, first of all, David was in a place that he didn't belong, if you let me say that. If you go back to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, you find out that the Bible said that it was a time when kings went forth to battle. But you know what David done? He sent Joab and that out to fight the battle. And David, well, take your Bible and go over there and let's look. Let's go over there and look. Now I'm going to preach fast as I know how. And poor old Nick, he's sitting down here going, the preacher don't know how. Amen. Is that right, brother? Amen. Amen. But I'll do it as fast as I know how. Listen, I want you to look in 2 Samuel 11. And verse 1, hey, listen, I got through that introduction a whole lot quicker than what I thought I would. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed. Can I park right here for just a second? And say, during the eventide, why was he still on his bed? I'm just asking you a question. Maybe he took an afternoon nap. I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking a question. When you get into some places that you don't belong, or you're not where you do belong, you start getting lazy and doing some things that you shouldn't be doing. And you know what he does? He walks out. Well, let's just read what happens. And it came to pass in evening time that David rose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look on. And David sent and inquired at the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" That should have been the end of the conversation. Should have been the end of it. Listen, when somebody said that she is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now if you go back and you look in the scripture that I preached on last week, you'll find the catalog of David's mighty men. And when you come to the very last verse and the very last name that is mentioned, guess who it is? Uriah the Hittite. Uriah just was not a regular soldier in David's army. Uriah was a mighty man of valor. David, I have no doubt in my mind, knew who Uriah was. He knew that he was one of my mighty men, and that's his wife over there that I've been looking at. I'm not going to say that she should have been washing herself, or let me say, I need to say, she probably shouldn't have been washing herself on top of the roof. I will say that. Well, look in verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, and David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house, wash thy feet," and Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. Now as you read on right here, you'll find out that David was trying to set something up and make something happen to get him out of the trap, if you let me say that. David's already sinned. He's already committed adultery. And that with Bathsheba. She's found with child. And now he's trying to get Uriah to go down there to his wife. And he won't go. He slept and that at the king's door with the king's servants. And as you read on right here, and when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," David said, "And Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down to thine house?" And Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul livest, I will not do this thing." Uriah's not only a mighty man of valor, he was a mighty man of character.
Amen.
You'll find out that David tried to get him drunk. As a matter of fact, he did get him drunk. And he's going to send him down there to his house and try to get him laid with his wife. And you know what? He still laid down here at the king's house. Can I tell you, and I've said it many, many times, Uriah had more character drunk than David had sober during this time. You got now, listen, I ain't going to try to be upon David too much, because the Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel that David was a man after God's own heart. Now you got to remember that. As I read this, David wasn't just some old sinner. Listen, God chose David to be king over Israel while Saul was still king. God snatched him and that out of the sheepfold and brought him to be king over Israel. God loved David. I believe David loved God. But you know what this goes to show me? I wonder what God says about me. Does he say right there is a preacher after my own heart? Does he say there is a man after my, a lady after my own heart? A young lady, a young man after my own heart? Sometimes I wonder, and if David was capable of the sin that he committed, then I certainly know that I am.
Yeah. Amen.
So David, in his pride, could not get away with his sin. You better be careful with pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit
Amen.
Before a fall. So I want you to look at the conviction that the Lord chastened him with. He said, Lord, he said, thy arrows stick fast in me. God had been shooting him. I mean, and God was hitting the target every time. He said, Lord, your arrows are in me. And he said, not only that, but he said, thy hand presseth me sore. It's got me down. And Lord, you're working on me. And you're pressing on me. And he went on to say, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine. Hey, listen, he knew God was mad at him.
That's right.
And I asked you something this morning. Is God mad at you? Is God angry with you this morning? He said, he ain't got there yet, preacher. You go ahead and keep on doing in the direction that you're going. You'll probably get there, friend. I'd say it's kind of living dangerous if you don't know the truth. David went on to say, for mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. He's realized what he's done and he's burdened down. He says in verse 5, my wounds stink. They're corrupt because of my foolishness. He said, Lord, you've shot me. You've created wounds in me and they stink. They've not been fixed. The thing about a wound is the longer you let it go, the worse it gets.
That's right.
It smells. It gets worse and worse and begins to eat at you. And eat and eat and eat. And eat and eat. And it just eats at your heart and eats at your heart and eats at your heart. God and David is telling God, he said, my wounds, he said, they're still sore. He said, they're corrupt, they stink, they're just full of old nastiness, if you'd let me say that, because they've not been fixed. He said, I'm troubled. He said, I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. There's no joy. You remember in Psalms chapter 51, when he's getting right with the Lord over there. In Psalms 51 verse 8, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He said, Lord, you've broke my bones. You've broke me down. I'm going to tell you, he may get you into a place where he'll just break you down if you won't fool with sin. If you don't want to stay separated from the world and you want to go and do your own thing, you go ahead. But I guarantee you, if you're saved, you know what's going to happen one day? He's going to come knocking.
Amen.
I want you to think about this. We all know, bar nothing happens, it takes 9 months for a woman to have a child. Matter of fact, we seen that in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? Amen. 9 months, bar nothing happens.
Right.
David commits that sin, she conceives. And listen, he don't get right until she has that baby almost over there. David, look, he comes out there. Nathan says, thou art the man. I'm going to deal with this verse here in a minute. He says, thou art the man. And one of the last, or the last thing that Nathan tells him before he walks away, he said, by the way, David, that baby's going to die. That's kind of scary, ain't it? I don't know when David wrote this psalm. I don't know if it was in the 7 days while he was laying on the ground out there in that fasting. I don't know when he wrote it. But I do know this, that he was pouring his heart out to God. He said, I'm troubled. I'm bowed down. I go mourning on. Hey, listen, why do you think when he gets right with God, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He had lost his joy in salvation. God was beating the fart out of him. And David wouldn't get right. He said, even my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And there is no soundness in my flesh. It's twice he said, there's no soundness in my flesh. God had afflicted his flesh. Not only had he afflicted his spirit, he had afflicted his flesh. I'm going to tell you, if you want to mess with God, go ahead. He can put you in the hospital and lay you flat on the back where all you can do is look up.
Amen.
You want me to be honest? I said this the other day and I'll say it again. I'm going to be as honest as I know how to be. I'm scared not to serve the Lord. Now I serve Him because I love Him. Amen? Listen to me now. When I was if my mom and daddy called me today and they wanted me to come do something, I'd go do it. Because, you know why? I love them. I've told you this story before. Daddy called me one day. Me and Kelly was working. I mean, we were working. She took vacation and she said, I'll never do it again. She said, I'll never take vacation and work at the house. It wasn't no vacation, that's for sure. And we was working. I mean, man, we was cleaning up the outside. And I mean, like fighting fire. And I mean, I had the trailer loaded, ready to come down here to the landfill and dump it and get things done. And Daddy calls me. He says, son, can you come up here for just a little bit? I need you to come up here and look at something real quick. I need you to come now. I mean, I'm in work boots and work clothes and everything else. And here's what I said. Daddy, if you'll give me just a minute or two to put my shoes on, I'll be right up there. Now, you know why I've done that? Not because I was afraid of him, but because I love him. But you know, when I was little, I done what I was supposed to do because I was afraid of him.
Amen.
As my relationship grew in him and grew in my mother, I done it because I love him, you see. Now let me tell you this. I serve God because I love him, because he loves me. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ because he saved me and wiped the slate clean. And I'm in love with him and he's in love with me. But if you can't do it, then you better do it because you fear him.
Amen.
Then you'll learn to love him. But physically, God had got a hold of David. He had become feeble and weak. He said that at one point he was sore broken. Now, you know what that means when he was sore broken? How that means with pain, how that he wasn't whole anymore. He talks about how his heart panted, his strength failed, the light of his eyes was gone, God wasn't lightening him. Hey, listen. You know, one of the... You know, when I believe he was telling the Lord, I'm coming near death. I believe you're about to kill me, Lord. But he said, my eyes ain't lightened anymore. You know, one of the things that scares me is when the Lord quits talking to me. When he quits enlightening me about some things. That scares the far out of me. My relationships got cut off. Is your relationship good with God this morning? How is it? He said in verse 11, God was beating the far out of him. I mean, just beating the far out of him. You think anybody else knowed? I think somebody knowed. Hey, no, because in verse 11 he said, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sword, and my kinsmen stand afar off. He said, my friends won't even have nothing to do with me. He said, my friends, he's lonely. He's left by himself. He's got all kinds of people. I don't know how many. I mean, listen, David was married. I'm trying to remember how many wives he actually had. And all those servants that he had. But he said, I'm lonely. He said, everybody has left me. What do you think the prodigal? How do you think the prodigal felt down there in the hog pen? Look in Luke chapter 15. I want you to look over there with me. Look in Luke 15 real quick. Then I'm going to come back and keep preaching. I know what time it is, but I'm going to hurry. Luke 15. I'm trying to keep you out of trouble if you ain't already in it. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, it don't apply to. Oh, yeah, it applies to you. Applies to me. I want you to look in Luke 15, verse 16. Well, John 15 don't read like Luke 15. Some of y'all understand that right there. I was in the wrong book. I want you to look and now he's left home. He's left home. And he spent all that he had in verse 14. And there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now he's left home and he's had to join himself to a citizen of the far country. In a place where he probably didn't know nobody, didn't know much, he didn't have nothing and that with him. And he's had to go and join himself to a citizen of that country. It'd be a shame for you to have to go find help out in the world. But you know what? If you won't come to God's house and God's people to find help and God's man to find help, the only place you're going to find it's out in the world.
Amen.
And it ain't going to be good help.
Right.
Bible said he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him to into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Now look at the very end of verse 16. And no man gave unto him. He was in such a state, friend, that nobody would give unto him. Nobody would help him. Me and my wife was at the steakhouse here about 2 or 3 months ago. I guess it's been about 2 months ago, hadn't it? I'd been down to a Jubilee meeting. And come in, and my wife said, "Well, let's go get something to eat." I mean, I'd left Dayton about a little after 5, and come home, and it was on, I don't remember what day it was, but I know I was hungry when I got there. Amen. And so we went down to the steakhouse to get something to eat, and as a young man, walking up through there, and he asked us how we were, and I said, "I'm doing good. How are you?" And he began to sing and tell us a sob story. And got a wife and a kid. They're living in a hotel, about to get kicked out, and all those things. And he needs something to eat. And so I gave him a little money for to get him something to eat, go get him some groceries. And he began to talk about how he needed that hotel room paid. And I began to think about how we could pay for that. And the Holy Spirit, just about like that, he said, "Don't you give him no more money." He said, "Don't you give him no more money." And so me and my wife, we went on in and ate, and we talked about it. I said, "Well, while we sit here and eat, we're going to pray about what we're supposed to do." I don't even think we said 14 words to each other while we ate. Very quiet, you know. And if you've ever ate with me, that's unusual. Amen. I, if you can handle it, I can talk with my mouth full, man. I mean, I can. If you can handle it, I'm good. I talk like this, you know. I just like to talk. Won't deal with that tonight, by the way. God been our helper. But listen, we sat there and I prayed and I talked about it, and we were both driving separate. And so we decided we weren't going to do anything. And that bothered me. That bothered me so much. And on the way home, I called my sister. My sister deals with the homeless people all the time. She helps run a homeless shelter. And I called her, and I told her everything. But I said, one of the things that has bothered me is just as soon as I got ready to do something else, it's just the Holy Spirit just said, "Don't give him no more money." And I said, "Have you ever been there with the homeless?" She said, "Oh, yeah, many times." She said, "That's just the Holy Spirit taking care of you. Sometimes when you just don't know no better." You know what? That kind of helped me. And you know what? The Lord will speak to you.
Amen.
If you'll let Him. He knows what's going on. Say, "Well, I don't know what God was trying to do in that young man's heart. I talked to him about his salvation. He said he was saved. He said he knew the Lord. Maybe God was trying to get his attention." You know, sometimes God will let you get all the way to the bottom. You're going to tell me that this old boy in Luke 15 wasn't all the way on the bottom? He's down in the hog pit wanting to eat what the hogs are eating. Nobody would help him. Why? All because he left his father and he left his family and he left his friends. Let me say this to you, mom and dad, this morning. The father didn't follow him. The father didn't finance him.
Amen.
And the father didn't go find him. You say, "That's awful hard, preacher." Hey, I'm going to tell you, some of the best things you can do if your children get wrong with God is let them wallow in it for a little while.
Yeah, amen.
You keep battling them out, they're never going to get right with God.
Amen. Come on.
You say, "That's tough when your child..." Hey, I'm telling you right now, if you just let them wallow in and let God work on their heart and do something for them, they might get right with God. But he even went on to say that his enemies were against him. If you read this, you can see it in Psalms 38. He said, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceit all the day long. You can go on over here and you can look in verse 16. And he said this about his enemies. He said, for I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. He said, my foot has slid, and they're magnifying themselves against me. You know what Nathan told David when he left? When he left from over there, he said, how be it, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And then he said, the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. He said, David, by what you've done, he said, you've gave the enemies of God a reason to blaspheme him. We ruin our testimony, and the world can look at us and say, see, I knew that stuff wasn't real. I knew that God that they sung about wasn't real. That Jesus that they talked about and praised all the time, I know that stuff wasn't real. Look at them. That's what Nathan is saying to David. David, you opened the door for the enemies of God to blaspheme him by the way you've lived and done this thing. God help us not to get there. You may be there now. But I want you to look. Not only was there a conviction of sin, there was an admission of sin. In verse 3, David owns up to it. He said, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Verse 4, he talks about for mine iniquities. And in verse 18, he says, I will what? I will declare mine iniquities. I will be sorry for my sin. David was willing to own it. Yep, it's my problem, Lord. You didn't have nothing to do with it. I done it. It's my sin. You're going to have to come to a place of admission.
Amen.
You're going to have to come to a place of admission that you're not right with God, and you're going to have to fix it. You're going to have to come to a place of admission that you need to get saved. So that's the only way you can get saved is you have to admit that you're lost. So I remember the night that I got saved. I remember the night I was sitting on the very back row on the left-hand side from the preacher, and I remember saying, I'm not saved. I remember that. And I wasn't. But thank God he saved me that night. But you got to admit that you're not right with God. David admitted it, and that's the only way that he was going to get right with God was to admit his sin. If you look in Psalms chapter 51, he says this. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee. David said, it's mine. It's mine. It's my problem. And he owns up to it. It's his fault, nobody else's. You ever dealt with somebody that always wanted to blame somebody else for their sin? Always wanted to blame some reason and some problem and some person for the way that they're living. It's your fault, friend. It's your fault. Not my fault, not the church's fault, not the Sunday school teacher's fault, not the choir's fault, not your wife's fault, not your husband's fault. It's your fault. Hope I'm doing good this morning.
Amen.
Prodigal son had to come to himself in Luke chapter 15. If you read that over there, you'll see that. The Bible said when he came to himself. You know what he had to do? Say, it's my fault. All this mess that I'm in, I've created, and it's my fault. David hadn't been right for some time, but he sure did want to get right with God. How do you know? Because number 3, there was a cessation of sin. What do you mean? There was a conviction, there was an admission of that sin. You got to admit it. You got to say, yeah, it's my fault. But then there was a cessation. That means he stopped. Look right here, verse 17 of the text chapter. He said, for I am ready to halt. I quoted this last week. I'm ready to halt. I'm ready to stop. I've went as far as I want to go. I've went as far as I care to go in this whole situation.
Amen.
You're going to have to come to a place where you're just ready to stop. You're just, I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't. When I got ready to preach it, man, I was getting concerned for myself. I mean, you start reading this stuff and looking at it and you're studying it. You're going, God, is there something on the inside of me? I mean, is there something inside me that needs worked on? I sure don't want to end up like David.
No.
But there was a cessation. I'm ready to halt. And my sorrow is continually before me. I want you to look at the difference between 17 and 18. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. He said, look, my sorrow is before me. What I've done and how I feel is before me. I see it. I realize it. I'm going to stop. But he comes down in the very next verse and he said, I will be sorry for my sin. Not sorry that I got caught. Not sorry that somebody pointed it out. But I'll be sorry for my sin. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done. I'm sorry for how I've lived. I'm sorry for what I've acted. I'm sorry for what I've said. And then he quits what he's doing. You know, that's called repentance, ain't it?
Amen.
When you stop and turn from him, it's called repentance. Be called out for help. In verse 21 and 22, he said, forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. He knew who to cry out to. He knew who could forgive him. He knew, listen, he didn't want to be forsaken. He didn't want God to be from him. Listen, if you go to Psalm chapter 51 and look in verse 10, he said, he's getting right with God. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, Lord, I'll get right with you. But would you please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? Would you please just let us make things right between one another? How's your relationship with the Lord? Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would, across the house.